Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Way Too Woke. I'm your host, Anthony Newton. Let's start to break some of this stuff down. Hey, what's going on, guys? So I have been on this very political kick because I'm just planning to get into breaking down the family dynamic, sort of how we got from where we were early on. And a lot of people, they do have a problem, and even me, some of the problems with how we ran stuff traditionally and early on. And through all of, you know, the unfairness and just pure lack of knowledge, I guess, there was some poor decisions made in the past, some wrongful sins. However, this world looks way different, and not really in a good way. And today I just want to speak a little bit about what's going on with my people. I'm just joking. No, so, you know, every time somebody says my people, that just separates us even more. You know, just because I'm a black guy, and, you know, when you talk to a black audience, I know some people need to hear that because they might be more apt to listen. However, I think it separates us a lot more, and I don't like to do that. Although we need to talk about these things, I think we all should have some kind of, you know, some kind of collective perspective on the change and the progress of the nation, without just, like, seeking to divide more. And so, I was just reading, you know, this article, basically, and, you know, it's called What's Holding Blacks Back? It's Black Attitudes, Not White Racism That's to Blame. And the author's John H. McWhorter. And I just really thought he made some great points. You know, I'll go over, you know, some of those. And also, just observation, statistics, things you would see. And, you know, how the media today is sort of discrediting how far we've come. And basically, and this is how McWhorter said it, and it was basically they're creating a cult of victimology. And, you know, playing victim, that never gets anybody anywhere. Anytime you decide that you are victimized, and that you were a victim of some wrongdoing, you feel like you're just entitled to something, you're owed something. And we see how that plays out in just society and in your own life. And anytime you display some kind of victim mentality, things just usually doesn't go right, you know, for that individual. So I will talk about, you know, some of the things that have plagued, you know, I guess many cultures, you know, and some cultures and ethnicities decided to let them, you know, they decided to let them, like, own the narrative. And That's just indoctrination of what happened. This seems to be across the African American community, as well as the Native American community, just like the indigenous people. And which is crazy, because when you look at the statistics of what happened to indigenous people, like Native Americans and, you know, African Americans who were quote unquote brought on slave ships. And the quote unquote is not saying that African Americans weren't brought on slave ships. It's saying that's just they're not telling the whole narrative of the story of how many people were slaves. Europeans had slaves. There were slaves in Asia. There were slaves in Africa. You know, people were selling slaves. And, you know, the whole indoctrination of just the society we see today sort of, you know, makes you take a step back on why now that African American and Native Americans are struggling in the economic race, the socioeconomic race of things. And it almost looks like, you know, it was just indoctrination from the beginning. Because in our history books, you know, if anybody's gone through the history books in the United States and, you know, you were in public school like me and, you know, most of the rest of the people, you know, your parents couldn't afford like private school, or you weren't smart enough to get a scholarship or whatever have you, there was a lot of, you know, just black people and Native Americans being victimized because it was, oh, hey, you know, black people, you guys were oppressed and you were brought over on slave ships. And for Native Americans, it was, hey, you know, they came over here, you know, Christopher Columbus came over here and slaughtered all your people and took your land. And that impact, you know, and obviously anybody who's gone through public school, you know, I'm not sure what they teach in private school. I didn't go, so I have no clue. But, you know, that's just indoctrination. You know, we talk about CRT nowadays and, you know, how parents are fighting back on CRT, which is critical race theory, which basically just says, you know, white people are bad. Is, you know, it's crazy thing that, you know, people are, you know, now starting to take a step back because they're finally understanding what the kids learn. But going through school, it was just creating a whole victim's mentality for Native Americans and African Americans of, you know, just the indoctrination of that stuff into the psyches of young children. And so now you see, you know, they line the streets and, you know, they just spew whatever ideologies that they want to spew. And, you know, while it's not justified and, well, I mean, I guess, you know, while it may be justified, you know, like, it, you still can't move forward. So I think the indoctrination of things didn't help, is why I was going through that. However, you know, sometimes like certain things become like self-fulfilling prophecies, and you create your own chaos, which is sort of what I want to talk about and where I was getting to. And, you know, because if you look at some of the some of statistical analysis where, you know, they say you know, black people earn 61% of what whites are earning, right? And people look at that and go, oh, you know, why is that? And so in last episode, I talked about the gender pay gap. And I sort of explained the breakdown of the gender pay gap, why it existed. And that's sort of the same. That's sort of the same thing with this, because if you take overall, like if you just take an overall blanket statement of just black people, you know, that's single mothers, that's you know, black kids with no parents, you know, who had no parents growing up. That, you know, that's just a bunch of like different things, and you know, it's not always accurate. Because, you know, black parents who had, or black families, sorry, who had two parents in the household made around 87%, you know, of what, you know, two white parents made. I just don't like to give these, breakdowns and overgeneralization of race, but, in this particular episode, I sort of have to like just break down the divide because of, you know, like what today's society looks like. This is not a podcast episode against black people or, you know, like for whoever. This is just breaking down the numbers of, you know, just sort of that victim mentality, because in today's society, it's just like all white people are bad and nobody else does anything wrong. You know, so if you're looking, like you can look at anything, you know, you look at the George Floyd case, you know, any sort of the other police shootings, you know, some like obviously. No, like everybody had a problem with the George Floyd thing. There was nobody that I talked to, white, black, or indifferent, who thought that the George Floyd thing was okay. Nobody, you know, like, and there was, you know, a couple of other videos, and I'm sorry, I don't have all the names. It's also like 2 a.m. while I'm doing this. But you know, like, anytime a white cop shoots a black guy, you know, like, there's no sort of explanation of, you know, what the black guy did, you know, like, what was going on. It was just white cop shot black guy. And, you know, and then everybody loses their mind. They start marching, and they start, like, nobody knows anything, but they're just, you know, they have this victim mentality that, you know, everybody's victimized in their culture, and we need to do something about it. But, you know, most African Americans, like, they tend to be, like, self-inflicting wounds. So, just like the, you know, the two-parent households, right? Like, a lot of African Americans, like, as we know, they grow up without their fathers. You know, it's not just a stereotype. There's a lot of varying factors. There's a lot of different factors. You know, having sex out of wedlock, which is, you know, for most people. However, in the African American culture, or you know, depending on, you know, where you are geographically, it tends that they don't stay around very often. It also, you know, they tend to go to prison and go to jail at a higher rate, which is another thing. So, you know, like, the kids are born without fathers. You know, or they're born with fathers in prison. And that just, you know, that creates that generational gap where, you know, or generational curse, you should say, where, you know, they're just, everybody's doing the same thing over and over. You're having, you know, sex with, like, you know, without being married. And while everyone, you know, while everyone tends to do that, the gap, while it's going up for whites, you know, like historically, for blacks, you know, they've just grown up without parents in the home because, you know, whether that be the father leaving, you know, the father never being there, the father being in prison, it happens so much with blacks. And if you look at the, you know, you can go back a couple of episodes, you know, where I talked about, you know, how, you know, with blacks being in prison and, oh, actually, no, maybe that wasn't an episode. If you go to my website, waytoowoke.life, there's a couple of articles about it. And, but, you know, I go into, like, just statistically how bad it is for, you know, just like individuals, especially African Americans, to grow up without their parents because, you know, there's higher rates of imprisonment, there's higher rates of suicide, there's higher rates of drug addiction. It's just, you know, like, it's just not good. And, you know, and to pretend, you know, to play the victimology and say, oh, we just don't have the opportunity and we don't have this and we don't have that. And but still continue to, you know, leave your families high and dry. And this is like, and this is not just black people. Many males do this around the U.S. However, this is talking specifically, because it's talking specifically to African Americans because of just today's society and the breakdown and, you know, the cult of victimology is, you know, you just feel oppressed and this is why we feel oppressed and, you know, like, you know, why isn't anybody doing things about it? And, you know, this is just to bring awareness to, you know, the fact that, you know, it may not be racism. You may be inflicting your own wounds. And so a family, you know, like the family, the culture of the family breakdown is a big part of, you know, why different people succeed and why other people don't. And because, you know, having two parents in the household, having, you know, a mother there to take care of you and, you know, be that emotional support, and having your dad who works hard and provides and gives you wisdom, and, you know, and those roles can obviously be switched or reversed, or, you know, like me, I grew up in a military household and my mom was also sort of militaristic, if you would. But either way, you know, statistics show, and, you know, you can, like, you know, and I know people sometimes get tired of saying statistics show, you know, but what you're seeing, but you could literally just observe, like, the people and the success they have, and then, you know, ask them how they grew up, and a lot of successful people grew up with two parents in the household, and they just look at the world differently. You know, some people, they also, you know, have creating success for themselves that grew up in a one-parent household, you know, and while those are anomalies in the grand scheme of things, they do happen. But, you know, just in today's society to say that, oh, you know, like, we're still, I don't know how these movements sort of just got engulfed with the same thing. It's just like, oh, because of, you know, because some shot, like, you know, some black people were shot by cops, that everything's just systematically racism. like racist. And so, you know, like if you look around, you know, like systematic racism, you know, that is saying that somebody is stopping you from succeeding. So that was just like, if you know, like white people are just like in those jobs going, hey, we're not hiring black people. You know, like, hey, you can't come here because you're black. And we know that's not true because there's many black people in power. You know, the same black people that are, you know, talking about, you know, how oppressed everyone is, you know, like, what's the chick on Maxine, you guys know who I'm talking about. You know, the same people, you know, on TV talking about how oppressed black people are the same ones that are living in mansions. You know, like, you know, the AOCs and Lightfoot, you know, the governor of Chicago. And, you know, they're just talking all this crap and saying, you know, how white people oppress them. And, you know, we're adding legislation for, you know, this and that. And we're doing critical race theory and we're doing all this, like, just insane, like, indoctrination crap. Just to, you know, just to appease, you know, like these ideologies. And that's not how this should work, because, you know, it's just going to, like, it's literally just dividing us more. And, you know, like, you don't want your kids growing up in an atmosphere where it's just like, oh, you know, like, you know, this is why we're different, because they're white and we're black. And no, man, like, we don't grow up like that. We're not supposed to grow up like that. You know, like, you be kind, just like Martin Luther King. You know, like, you don't treat people in the color of their skin, but, you know, by the merits of their character. Oh, sorry, I had to take a drink. And, you know, in this new world, we're raising kids to not believe in that system. You know, they want to tell, you know, they want to tell freaking grade school kids that, oh, you know, you're just automatically racist because of your skin color. Which is literally the same thing that they're getting mad at for white people doing in the past. So, like, they, you know, it's very frightening that there's not more pushback from everybody on this certain thing, because you're literally just trying to reverse the roles. So, you know, you get mad at white people back in the day for, you know, systemic racism and racism in general and indoctrination, but yet you want to do that. Why? And, you know, the only reason is because, you know, like, you would seek to divide the country even further. And that's just, it's not good for anybody. You know, and so, I don't know who's, you know, like, obviously you have, like, radical leftist ideas and things like that. But, yeah, that's just, it's just not good for the country. And, you know, so, like, all these numbers, you know, that they come up with, or, you know, like, they're skewed, or it's just, you know, there's so much, like, and even, you know, moving on to the next thing is, like, when you go to look at, okay, like, the crime in neighborhoods, and you have people that want to keep the crime out of neighborhoods, but are the same people that are talking about defunding the police. And now you, like, you're saying defund the police, but you don't want violence in your neighborhood. Oh, everybody's getting shot. It's when you look at just the, like, just the sheer number of black people who have been shot by cops, to just the crazy number of black people shooting black people. It is outstanding. It will blow your mind. It is not even close, not even on a small scale is it close. And so you got people in New York, in Chicago, LA, DC, Miami, that are literally just killing each other. Like in these black neighborhoods, you know, they're fighting over gang turf. And it's not just blacks. I know everybody's looking to always call you out on something that you said. Oh yeah, you're saying all black people, like, no. But because this whole thing, you know, this podcast episode is dedicated to talking about, you know, the inflicting wounds that black people are doing to themselves, this is why I sort of generalize certain aspects of what I'm talking about. But you got all them saying defund the police. And this could just be like radical leftists. You know, like you see black people marching because the media tells them to. But you can't defund the police in an area that's already crime ridden. You need more police. You need more funding. Like, the cops may need more training, but that also means more funding. You can't defund the police. And as you're seeing right now, you know, like, you look at a town like, you know, like New York, where it was just, you know, it was mayhem in the 70s and the 80s, the 60s, and you know, Giuliani came into power and he cleaned it like all the way up. And then, you know, to the point where New York was, you know, the safest big city in the United States, which is crazy because of the amount of people. But they had the law enforcement come in and, you know, they were doing their jobs. And you know, like, now you see what's happening now in those cities with, who was it, Cuomo? And you're like, oh, defund the police. Oh, man, why are there shootings in broad daylight? Oh, I wonder why. Like, no, this is crazy. Like, you can't defund the police and then ask why people are shooting in broad daylight. Like, this is self-inflicting wounds. Like, I don't know what you thought was going to happen. This is crazy. I'm not necessarily sure who's leading this like, obviously, you know, you got, like, the Marxists, you know, like, people with, like, well, you know, people that are Marxists, and you got, like, Antifa. And you got, like, radical leftists and liberals with all these, like, just, like, bat crazy ideologies. And so nobody actually know who's moving what and what's doing what. But I would imagine the pendulum would have to swing, like, it would have to swing back at some point. Because, like, there's no way that this can last, you know. And in Chicago, you know, it's, you know, in Chicago, they're literally, there's, like, more people murdered there than, like, in Afghanistan during the war. Like, this is just crazy stuff. And, you know, like, they're the main ones just marching for defunding the police, like, I don't understand what you are doing. This is why, like, black progress is stopped. These are self-inflicting wounds, guys. You know, and just like, you know, they fight gentrification. You know, gentrification, you know, they're trying to move businesses into, you know, like, these urban areas, quote-unquote. And, you know, that, it like, it helps the city. And so, with adding more police and adding businesses who want to invest in the community, a lot of those black neighborhoods see that as, oh, they're just coming to take over our stuff. And, you know, it's not that they don't have a right to feel that way, but if you want to make change, if you want to make lasting change that's going to, you know, affect, you know, your family for generations, then that's going to have to happen. Like, no companies, you know, throwing their hands up to invest in, you know, businesses that are going to get robbed and looted and, you know, tagged. Like nobody signing up for that. That's just, you know, it's not racist, it's bad business. You know, so, you know, the fact that, like, you know, and that's with everything, that's defunding the police as well. Like, if, like, I'm not moving to a community that's saying that, oh, we don't like cops. You know, we don't want cops. Like, what happens when cops aren't there? Crime happens is what happens. You know, and that's, like, that's a big thing. They want to make, like, they're making everything out in this defund the police thing. Like, you know, cops are just shooting black people for no reason. It's like, no, you committed a crime. And you don't, you maybe don't deserve to die for committing that crime. But this is, you know, like, whether it's running, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to fight the cop, whatever happens between, you know, hey, getting pulled over to, oh gosh, I'm dead now. Like, we can't have that. You know, like, there has to be some kind of system set up where, you know, like the extra training, you know, like the police just actually in the community, like, as community support, and not just going wherever the trouble is. And so they try to make it seem like, oh, like, this is, you know, like, it's happening because we're black. And it's like, no, it's happening because they are primarily in neighborhoods where crime is highest. And so if you're committing crime in neighborhoods where crime is highest, like, I'm not necessarily sure what you expect to happen. And so, you know, like, this whole freaking society, you know, like, and they've gotten, like, all these freaking, you know, left-wing radical people to sort of just go along with, like, all this nonsense. And, you know, like, we're, you know, maybe those left-wing radical people are creating the nonsense. But, you know, just to sort of, you know, inflict those wounds on yourself and then say that, oh, it's the white people's fault. Like, no, you're just playing, like, you're just playing victim. That's just, like, that's a cop-out. Like, that's loser DNA. That's how you stay where you are, and that's how you, you know, keep your families down from generations to come. You know, like, this is, like, this is crazy. You can't go and commit a crime and then something bad happens because you don't want to, you know, take the fault for committing the crime. And then you go, oh, it's because I'm black and they're white. Or you leave your family to fend for itself, you know, and you don't take care of, you know, like, your child responsibility, or, you know, like, your responsibility as, you know, a husband or anything. And, like, that's a self-inflicting wound. Like, there's no reason there should be, this many black women who don't have, like, who don't know the father of their children, and who aren't in, you know, who, you know, they're having a lot of premarital sex, and, you know, think that there won't be consequences for it. You know, and this is obviously, there's two parties involved, but at the same time, there were acts committed where you weren't being responsible, and so now you have a child growing up in a single parent family. That's not inflicted by white people. That's self-infliction. And so, you know, just to sort of, you know, make up this, you know, like this this monster in your head that, you know, like the white people oppression monster, saying that, oh, you know, like this is why we continue to be this way. There are black successful people everywhere. There are people that work their butts off. These black successful people, you know, they're in charge of Fortune 500 companies and Fortune 100 companies. You know, they're obviously, you know, like a lot of them are in, you know, sports, making millions, billions of dollars. You know, you got the LeBron Jameses, and you got the Patrick Mahomes, you know, like Russell Wilson. There's so many of them who are successful, and, you know, they're putting money into different places. They're creating a whole new life for generations to come. Like, obviously, everybody can't be LeBron James or Russell Wilson. However, there's black doctors and lawyers, you know, even teachers, and, like, because, you know, you, like, money doesn't translate to success. So, you know, as a successful black person, maybe you want to be a teacher and have a husband who's a manager somewhere, and you just live a nice life. And so, and there's no kind of policy, no kind of politics in place that's holding you where you are. You're held where you are by self-infliction and loser DNA. Like, and, oh, well, it's not easy to get out of blah, blah, blah. Obviously. Dude, nothing's easy. You gotta work hard. Some of us have to work harder. But that's not a race thing. That's just like some people want to get to a certain place, and you have to work hard to get there. There's not just like CEOs of companies who are just, you know, just walking down the street one day and somebody hit them with a job offer to be a CEO. Like, no, regardless of what it is, these people work hard, and they continue to work hard to stay in those positions and to attain those positions. So the fact that, you know, we're just fighting this, you know, supposed oppression ghost when, you know, me, myself, my family, you know, at one point we had nothing and we worked our tail off and we're succeeding in different aspects of life. And at no point did, you know, I was just went in and, you know, a white guy was like, oh man, no, we don't hire black people. Or, oh yeah, like, you know, systematically, this just won't work because we're keeping you down. Like, no, man, that just doesn't happen. These self-inflicting wounds that we keep blaming on the oppression boogeyman has to stop. We have to stay more faithful to family and to children, especially our children, you know, our spouses, and, you know, like a big, you know, obviously a big thing is not having sex out of wedlock, you know, not having children out of wedlock, because that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. That's, you know, when people get trapped, you know, at 16 year old and having babies, you know, it's, they just don't see a future for themselves, even though some of them do. And, you know, even when you have a baby at 16, there's still a future if you're going to fight, but you're going to have to fight a lot harder. So don't complain about that. Crime. Stop committing crime, because obviously it's hard. I need to sell drugs to support myself. Yeah, you can also go get a job at McDonald's. You can go get a job at Walmart. You can work your way up. You can put yourself through school. This is not just like, oh, you know, like, but the gangs, you know, they want to recruit me. And they, like, dude, nobody said this was easy. People face all kinds of consequences for actions all the time. Like, this is not easy. Like, I've been, you know, I've been pretty much working 50, 60 hours a week since I was 18. And put myself through school, bachelor's, master's, about to work on my PhD. This is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. But it's possible. And just because you, like, just because it's not easy doesn't mean you can't do it or shouldn't do it. And we have to quit all of these just ideological principles that make no sense. You know, the quotes sound catchy. Oh, Black Lives Matter, defund the police. None of those help anybody's situation at all. They either seek to divide you from an entire other race, or they seek to have your cities in just utter chaos, in complete chaos. So I think that, you know, we're just going to have to get our stuff together, because there, you know, there's nobody coming to help you. That's what I've learned from my family, that, you know, my parents, and they didn't really preach that, but you just sort of, like, you felt that in the way they worked hard for everything, in the way they sort of taught us, is, you know, like, you're not owed anything. Like, nobody's coming to help you. You're going to have to help yourself. And so, you know, if that means bootstrapping it and, you know, putting the future of your family on your back, like, that's what you're going to have to do. Because if you continue to make these same mistakes, so, you know, this, the mistakes of having children out of wedlock, you know, the mistakes of, you know, getting into, you know, getting into trouble with the law, like, this, like, all these things are going to continue to plague you, plague your community, plague your family. You know, so until somebody figures out that, hey, you know, we can be just as successful as anybody, and, you know, they just strap those freaking boots up and they just go to work, and they keep working, and they keep working until, you know, one day they've built a generation, they've built a legacy. And so I think moving forward, you know, we just have to shut up and we gotta go, guys. We gotta go. Guys, I hope you got something out of that. It was a lot of, it seemed like anger towards blacks, But I think it was more of just like the frustration knowing that, you know, like this is like you get like other people fighting your wars and, you know, like you think the government is here to help you or, you know, the government is there to hold you down. Like the government is keeping you from fulfilling your full potential. There's nothing that say like, you know, when friggin' times are hard that, you know, you can't get food stamps or Section 8 or whatever the case may be. But to rely solely on the government to function, that's how you create communism. And communist countries just, you've seen it, they just don't do well. And this has been, you know, like, black people have been held down so much by, you know, like, the government assistant programs and the government funding, you know, and some people are able to take advantage of, you know, some of the affirmative action stuff and the college stuff. But for most people, you know, it's just, oh, you know, it's just food stamps and, you know, Section 8 housing. Hey, you can only work this much, you know, or we're going to take away your funding. And it's just like, that's not a good way to live your life. That's not how you create success for the future. You know, your kids are going to grow up and, you know, they're going to think that's what they have to do. And then they're going to follow in that same pattern. And, you know, for, you know, as a parent, you know, that's just not what you want. You want your kids to be way greater than you were. And, yeah, guys, get it together. Every step of the way, it's going to be hard, but it can be done. Guys, I appreciate you for listening. Once again, this is Way Too Woke. I'm your host, Anthony Newton, and I'm out.